Awesome. Quickly stand with me. So what we've been teaching the guys this weekend is to build our lives around the presence of God. And it's been amazing. We've seen many miracles happen this weekend. People getting healed, set free, hearts healed, and mightily restored. So what we've been training them is to open our hands in an attitude of receiving and of surrender. You see, everything must be done from the presence of God. So Lord, we thank you. Thank you we can celebrate the 30 plus years of this church. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness through the years. Thank you, Lord, for the excitement in this house this morning, God. There's a renewal that you are bringing. And so God, Holy Spirit, have your way in us. Lord, we pray that your word would be alive and powerful as it is. Lord, we pray that every heart would be receptive to receive and to hear, not from a man, but the word of God in the name of Jesus. So Lord, right now we speak freedom over every heart and mind. We command every darkness to leave this house right now. Every block, every opposition to the word, every resistance to the power of God, we say leave now. We declare Jesus Christ is Lord in this house. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. So God, have your way in us. So pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, we are ready to receive. We come with much faith. We renounce unbelief. And we believe that we're going to hear your voice and that we will encounter the living God. This morning, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. You may take your seats. So I want to share with you, it's been a very special weekend. I really feel God is doing something significant in you guys this weekend. Our mission is to remove the lid of people's lives and of churches, that God can take them into everything that the Lord has planned for them. So I want to share with you this morning about kingdom encounter. I want to share with you, and this is a weekend about the Holy Spirit, and it's all about creating an environment where God can move mightily. So this is something the Holy Spirit dropped into my heart a while ago. I felt like if you build it, God will come. If you build a kingdom culture, the kingdom of heaven, the superior kingdom of heaven. If you take the culture of heaven, the culture of the kingdom of God, and you build that culture on the inside of you and around you, God's going to come. I mean, that's what happened to Moses. He received the blueprint from heaven on the mountain, and he went and he built Moses' tabernacle. And what happened? God came. The glory came. Solomon received a blueprint, and then he built, according to that blueprint, the temple of Solomon. And then what happened? God came. The glory came. And I want to share with you, you know, how you can, we shared over this weekend, how we can build this environment, this culture in us and around us. And one of the ways you do this is sharing stories. Sharing stories of what God has already done, and then releases faith, and then God does it again. You see, every time you hear a good story of what God has done, you must say, Lord, I celebrate that. Yes, praise God. Do it again. Come on, say it. Do it again. Do it again. So I believe God's going to move mightily this morning. He's going to move mightily this morning. Whatever your need is, whatever your need is within a physical healing, deliverance from darkness on your soul, restoration in your marriage, a revival in your own heart with God. Whatever it is, God is able. He's the great I am. Whatever you need, He is the great I am. And so in 1996, I went to Stellenbosch to go and study. I was the first year there, and the reason I went to Stellenbosch was secondary, was to study. My first reason was to have a party. And so in the second term of my first year, the Lord set me up. He set me up. I drank too much. We had telephone duty in those days before cell phones. So I was on telephone duty and I drank too much and I got into trouble. So I had two disciplinary hearings in my first year because of the mess I caused. And you know, if you get a disciplinary hearing, you really mess up because there's a lot of guys that don't get it, but they mess up big time. But anyway, so I all these things were happening. I had this girlfriend and then she was compared to Sonica, she was ugly. Because today is, we're celebrating 18 years of marriage. This is officially the most beautiful woman here this morning. And I have the mic. Amen. So this is my beautiful wife, my partner in ministry, worship pastor. She preaches, she teaches, and she has brought so much blessing into my life. She is the reason, you know, and we shared the stories of the weekend, but she's the reason why we pursued more of God. It's like God does things in Sonica's life, and I'm like, Jesus, we need you. And so God used Sonica mightily to push me to pursue more of God, and I am eternally indebted to the blessing that she is in my life. Amen. Give her a hand. So we have a son 10 years old, and he's a world changer. Praise God. So anyway, second year, 1996, and in the midst of all these things happening, my life was in a sense falling apart, and in the midst of that season, a senior in the hostel, a master's degree student, he came to me, and I knew he's in another church. I was in a traditional church, and I was like, he's in something, Show Something, ShopRite, something. He was in a funny church, because when you come from a traditional church, anything that's not your church is of the devil. They teach you well to run. And so this guy came to me and he said to me that the Lord appeared to him. Jesus appeared to him in a dream the previous night. And God said to him, invite Andre to church. I was, dude, you're weird. You are very weird. But I went the one Saturday evening, at the service every night. The Saturday night, I went to church. I went with them and I was like all the way to church. I was telling the guy, I was going, if you guys do something weird, I'm running, eh? You weird, I run. And even just coming outside of the church venue is like everything inside of me don't go in. I've had a physical pain in my leg. I like my leg. I had to pull my leg with me. And then I enjoyed the worship. And I can't remember what the guy preached. But at the end of the service, I found myself responding on the altar call. And I came forward. And I was trying to blend in with the 50 people or so in the front there. Close my eyes to stand, blend. And the pastor came down, there was a visiting speaker, and he prayed for someone in the front, and he walked in between all of them, and he came and he stood next to me, and he put his hand on my shoulder, and he said to me, just give in to Jesus. And when he said that, I felt fire coursing through my body. I received a touch from heaven. I felt the fire of the Holy Spirit coursing through my being. That was the first day in my life I discovered that God is real. I didn't know what to do with it, but I realized God is real. And you see, and what I realized is God calls us. He calls us. None of us ultimately chooses Him. He first calls us, but then we need to respond and say, God, I surrender to you. So from that year onwards, God started to work in my life. And as I shared over this weekend, about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, the Lord really started to speak to us about pursuing the power of God. I had a theology that He's powerful, but I didn't have a manifestation of the power of God in my life. And we had to make massive changes. And so a lot of people battle with this. They battle with this. Is there really a God? Jesus came and He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom is here. And then He demonstrated the kingdom. He gave evidence for the kingdom of God. So this morning, I want to give you some evidence for the kingdom of God through stories. And then I'm trusting that you will encounter more of God. So my grandfather was a professor in surgery at the University of Stellenbosch, at the Tigerberg Medical Campus. His brother started the medical campus. I've got a long line of doctors in my family. But now we just pray for people and Jesus heals them. Amen. So my grandfather was an intellectual. He believed in evolution. And for him, if the evolution is true, there is no God. And he hated the church. He was anti-apartheid. And he was anti the church that was running the show at that time. And he just felt as hypocritical and it's just fake. And there is no God. And so the one day he was driving from hospital back home. And as he was driving home, he suddenly had symptoms, a pain in his chest. And he had like, oh my goodness, I'm having a heart attack. So he turned around and he drove back to the emergency ward. And he walked in and I said, guys, I think I'm having a heart attack. So I put all the sensors on him and he put him on the bed there. Anyway, what happens is he had basically a heart attack. And then he said, as this happened, he said the next moment he found himself stuck to the ceiling, looking down upon his body. And the nurses and the doctors working on him, trying to resuscitate him and trying to bring him back to life. They got him back to life and his spirit returned to his body. Now the amazing thing is my grandfather mocked religion. But after that day, no more. He didn't know which way is the way to God, but all he knew is there is a God and there is a spirit realm. Everything changed in that moment. You see, a man with an encounter is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. And a man with an argument is one encounter away from changing his argument. Amen. Just one encounter. So there's so many people living with us. There is no God and there is no that. And you know, it's not real. I tell you, one encounter changes everything. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is the superior kingdom. And when that kingdom comes, we are changed. Sicknesses leave, evil go, lives are changed, hearts are restored. You know how many stories we have in our church over the last year and a half of men, hard-hearted men, who abused even their wives or girlfriends or the people around them. And then they encounter Jesus. The response, my heart became soft. We had a men's camp recently and some of the guys were on a panel. Man, we were crying, 130 men, we were all crying. As each one shares their story of what God has done in them and how God has turned their marriages around and turned their lives around. And the one guy just saying, his father-in-law was in the meeting, he said, I'm so sorry for the pain I caused. You see, when you meet Jesus, he changes you from the inside out. He turns your heart around. That is evidence, once more, of the goodness and the power of the living God. So, I want to take you, in a moment, I want to take you to a verse, or a passage of where some guys encountered the power of Jesus. You see, but we have discovered over the last 8 years or so that there's something called dead religion. I always knew about dead religion, but now I really know dead religion. Do you know what dead religion is like? It's like farming without water. There's no water. So you go through the whole process. You break open the soil, you plant the seeds, you work from morning till late, but the harvest is minimal or nothing. And that's how so many churches are operating. We preach and we teach and we pray and we work and we disciple and we work from morning till late and the fruit is minimal. The harvest is so small because the Holy Spirit is missing. The water, the living waters are missing. And I shared it with the guys this weekend. I was 10 years full-time ministry in 2012, and I had to acknowledge we, spirit-filled, tongue-speaking church, we are dead religion. I believe God is powerful, but I have no evidence. Not real evidence. You know, I'm going to speak this over you that the heavy rains are coming. The heavy rains are coming. So we were at Shofar Wellington middle last year, and we had like a moment of beautiful glory. So we had three very significant healings that took place. The one lady, 17 years of significant back problems, and she could touch her toes after that. Hallelujah, praise God. Then the second thing that happened, a guy 25 years deaf in his one ear, we prayed for him, and the ear opened up, and he could hear normally. Praise God. But then the third one is the one I really love. There was a lady 25 years old approximately. When she was born with a cesarean section, something went wrong and her hips were damaged. Her hips were turned inward, something like that. So she couldn't walk normally. She couldn't run. And so she was sitting in the meeting and Sonica, my beautiful wife, had a word. She felt like God wants to heal hips today. And I called it out. God wants to heal hips today. And she was sitting there and she was like, no ways. I mean, I've had this from birth. God can't heal me. This is not for me. So she didn't respond on the altar call. She didn't come forward. And then one of our team members, I think, was praying with her. And she said, but not about the hips, but something else. And she says the next moment as she was sitting in a chair, her knees began to vibrate. Then she felt somebody hugging her from behind, but there was no one. And then her hips moved back into place and she was completely healed. Give Jesus praise for that. Jesus is alive. I mean, if God is real, there must be evidence. We must be able to show the world that God is real. Every heart that turns and gets changed, that's evidence for the reality of God. Every physical healing is evidence that God loves us, that the tomb is empty, that Jesus is risen. And he's still doing miracles in our midst. Amen. Come on, say it. I believe that Jesus is powerful. So I don't know where you find yourself. Maybe you are like the Apostle Peter was before he met Jesus. He was a fisherman. I could imagine he drank too much. A few beers too many with the boys. I imagine him as a man that didn't really pursue God. He just was trying to make ends meet for him and his family. Just going through the motions of life. Until what? Until Jesus got into his boat. And then Jesus said to him, cast the net on the other side. And he's like, Jesus, I've tried. I'm a fisherman. I've been fishing all night. There are no fish in this dam. I feel like that. When I try to catch stuff, nothing happens. And they said, okay, fine, I'll do it. So they threw in the net again. And Jesus did a miracle. And I mean, the fish almost jumped into the boat. Filled up these nets. The boats were filled up. And the fishermen fell to his knees and he said, Lord, depart from me, a sinner. The miracle shifted his life. The miracle opened his eyes. Or maybe some of us are like the apostle Paul when he was Saul, intellectual, full of opinions, angry, judging. I mean, Saul was going around believing he's doing the will of God, persecuting Christians, dragging them to jail, beating them with rods, doing it for God. Until on his road to Damascus, he met Jesus. Jesus clapped him off his donkey. Jesus basically said to him, welcome, Saul, to the kingdom. Welcome. His life got radically turned around. Do you know how many souls there are in the church world? They judge people who believe that Jesus still heals. They fight against us who apply biblical principles. They judge because they don't understand. You see, you will always fear what you don't understand. And then you will judge it. Just from your minute little brain. Sorry guys, but we have minute little brains compared to Almighty God. And we need to humble ourselves. And say, God, you know I don't. But some of us might be that intellectual paradigm and we're judgmental and we're critical and we are pointing fingers at everybody else, but we have a beam in our own eye. God wants to set you free. He wants to heal you. He wants to show you who He is. Maybe some of us have lost our fire for the living God. We have become lukewarm, or we've always been lukewarm. And we see this in our church, guys, when then they encounter Christ and the fires begin of the Holy Spirit begin to burn on the inside of them. And everything changes. I mean, just with our team here, they share their stories. God wants to light a fire on the inside of you. Come on, say it. God wants to light a fire on the inside of me. Come on, say it. Lord, do it. Amen. So I want to take you to these verses. It speaks about this kingdom encounter. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by." This is Jesus teaching. These guys had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now this is amazing. There's Jesus, God in the flesh. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Do you know what? None of them got healed. None of them. Why? Because they came to Jesus for a nice teaching. They didn't come to encounter Him. They didn't come to receive of who He really is. They thought He's a nice guy. A rabbi. But they didn't know who He really is. And so they missed it. And there's so many people that only operate on the intellectual level. And they miss the rest. Intellect must be surrendered to God. We must use our brains, yes. We must study. We must pursue God in studying the scriptures. We need to love the word of God. We need to love God with all our heart, all our mind, and all our strength. But these guys came with a completely wrong mindset. And there are so many believers in that same paradigm. And they miss what God has for them. So we had a couple from the United States. They are missionaries to South Africa. They came to East London. The guy's name is Rick Zapata. So Rick Zapata and his wife, they came and they had two kids. They came to South Africa. And he has a Southern Baptist theological degree. Now the Southern Baptists tend to be strong in the word, but not so strong in the spirit. Sometimes they are very afraid of the things of the Spirit. And this couple were like that. They doubted that the power of God is still for today. They doubted that healing is still for today. They doubted that the fullness of the Holy Spirit is still for today. But they came, they had a heart, a good heart after God. But they had wrong theology. So they came to, it was the first Sunday of November 2017. They came to our church. Sunday morning service. I didn't know that where they were there. So in the middle of worship, I was just worshiping, and then I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, "Andre, take the microphone and sing in tongues." I'm like, "Oh, no, no, Lord. I'm going to freak out all the visitors today. Okay, but I'll do it. Now, tongues is, you see, you're a three-part being, soul, spirit, body. Your spirit, when you allow your spirit to use your mouth to fellowship with God, who is spirit, that's tongues, okay? It's not that weird. It's just your spirit communicating to God by the power of the Holy Spirit. So anyway, so I take the microphone and I'm going to sing in tongues. Hallelujah, Jesus, protect all the visitors. I was battling to find my note. I felt something's different today. So I did band continue. At some point, I went for it and I sang in tongues. Now, tongues, you don't understand a word what you're saying. You do it by faith. And then the interpretation came. I had the interpretation that God is speaking to His children that He loves them. He loves His children. He loves His church. And other people brought the same word. 2 weeks later, I sat with Rick having coffee. And he said to me, "You probably don't know this, but we have come originally from South America. We understand Spanish. You sang in Spanish about the love of God for His children." I'm like, yes. It rocked my world and it rocked their worlds. They believed that the power of God is no longer for today. They had one encounter. They changed their minds. The next day they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues. Southern Baptists. Yes. No one's safe when we are near. It's biblical. Go read 1 Corinthians 14. It is so powerful. It takes your relationship with Jesus into another dimension. When your spirit comes alive and you pray by the Spirit. It's powerful. But you see, there's so many people living only on the intellectual plane. They never stepped into the fullness of the Spirit. One encounter with God will change you for life. Come on, say one encounter. One encounter will change you for life. It was so beautiful. Even I shared this yesterday. I just want to share this again. We were at Cambridge. The Lord has given me more and more words in Osa, more and more words like in different languages. And I'm using Google Translate to translate it while I'm praying in tongues. I'm getting these words. So in the one meeting, I got the word Tandeka. And I was like, Google Translate, what does Tandeka mean? It means beloved. It means beloved. I could speak over this location where I just God was saying to me, I love my people. Beloved. My beloved. You are His beloved. You are His Tandeka. Come on, let's say it. I am His Tandeka. You are. God wants to give us signs and wonders because every sign points to Jesus. Every sign brings glory to His name. Every miracle is a manifestation of glory that brings glory to Jesus. It's not about us, it's about Him. So let's look at the rest of those verses. Verse 18, it says, then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and led him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, come on, say faith. He said to them, man, your sins are forgiven you. When he saw their faith, we have learned this, wherever faith is present, the kingdom comes. Wherever faith is present, the kingdom comes. Believe, and you will encounter God. Believe. And then sometimes, even when you have no faith, we have faith, and you will encounter God. Amen. So we had a guy who came to church. His name is Aviwe. His girlfriend brought him to church. Praise God for a good girlfriend. He was an atheist, 26, 27 years old. He grew up and went to school at Selborne College in East London. And he and his friends, they were atheists. So he came to church, and at the end of the service, he tried to sort of slip away, but the pastor was roaming. So I was roaming for newbies, someone I can connect with. We're planting a church in town, so I was reaching out to guys. So I got his number. He's like, oh, no, the pastor got my number. So I took him for mug and bean coffee. And for about 2 hours, I tried to preach the gospel to him from every possible angle. He's like, no. I'm not ready to give my life to Jesus. And so that Sunday, he came to church again. And I made an altar call. And I just preached about that real men turn to Jesus. Real men. Wimps don't turn to Jesus. So I think I hit a chord there with his male ego. And so he responded on the altar call. He came forward, committed his life to God. We prayed this prayer with him. He committed his life to God. So in that week, I went to his house and went to see him. And as I walked in the door, he shook my hand. And he said, Pastor, I've prayed your little prayer, but the lights haven't come on yet. And I said, it's okay. And so I shared with him about salvation. Then I shared with him about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that God wants to baptize, immerse us in His Spirit. And so I'm sharing with him all that stuff. And I realized, man, I'm late. I need to go. But I'm going to quickly pray for you. So I said to him, man, quickly stand. Let me pray for you. So he closed his eyes. And he was standing like this. And then I prayed for him. I said, Jesus, come and baptize him. Come and immerse him in the power of your Holy Spirit. And then Aviwe says to me this later, I didn't know this, but he says, while his eyes were closed, he saw a light. And the light came closer, and then the light moved away. And he's like, what is this guy doing? Is he shining a flashlight in my eyes? I didn't have a flashlight. So he's seeing this light coming and going out. Light coming and going out. He's like, what is this? And I'm praying, Lord Jesus, baptize him in the Holy Spirit. The next moment, a glorious light floods into him that he had a good scare as well. But it's like, I'm not looking from the other side. He's like, ah, So he's like, oh, and he goes down into his chair and he falls down and he's like sitting and he's shaking and the tears are streaming down his face. And he's saying, it's real. It's real. It's real. His life got rocked that day. One encounter. You remember he said to me, Pastor, the lights haven't come on yet. Until the light of heaven came down. I just love how God knows us so well and even listens to our words. And he's like, okay, I'm going to have fun with this one. One encounter turned his life around. One encounter. What if we could give the world an encounter with Jesus? No, I'm not going to argue with you now. I'm just going to show you. He loves you. He wants to touch you. He wants to encounter you. There's nothing like him. And we see this in this passage. We see these men, they were the friends of this paralyzed guy. And it was so beautiful what they did. They're like, man, we're going to get this guy to Jesus. Jesus is the answer. What if you and I would be the same? What if we would also go to the rooftops, metaphorically speaking? What if we would break open the ceiling? Through prayer and through passionate bringing people before Christ in the Spirit through prayer. And then invite our friends to Jesus. Man, you need to meet him. He is amazing. No, I'm not calling you to religion. I'm not calling you to dead religion. I'm calling you to meet the living God. He is alive. And he's still working mightily in our midst. He is the Savior that turns hearts from hard to soft. He is the deliverer that sets us free from depression and wickedness on our souls. He is the one who heals our physical beings and sets us free. He is the one that heals marriages when we humble ourselves and we say, God, I can't do this. Jesus, please help. We had a lady in our church, the wife of one of our elders couple. Her name is Rosie. She had 8 miscarriages. The first one was due to, she was raped. The first baby was due to a rape. Lost the first, second, third. Some of them went, I think, 7, 8 months. Fell into depression. Horrific depression. She was on antidepressants for 5 years. When she would go off the antidepressants, she would become suicidal within days. I think this was in 2013. The year... There we had an outbreak of healing at our church. 100 people were physically healed. That was the first year God started to move. She was in a, we had a meeting and then she and her husband, they were praying or something. The next moment she felt like a searing hot rod of metal, like being stuck into her brain. Like spiritually, but that's sort of how it felt. Seriously painful. And she felt this heat burning into her brain. And she says, I'm pain. And they prayed for her. And then the pain left and she forgot about it. She went on missions. 2 months later, she realized, I haven't taken my medication. And she realized she was healed from depression. Praise God. Give Jesus a hand for that. Come on. Jesus heals. Come on, say it. Jesus heals. Jesus heals. And the good news is Jesus even heals from afar. So we're hearing more stories of people being healed who are not in the meeting. So we're doing this Cambridge evangelistic outreach. And it was a Tuesday night. And the one lady came to me. She said she's an aunt of 2 ladies who are in King Williamstown. That is 55 kilometers away from East London. And both of them are sick and they are over there. So I'm like, I don't have faith for people far away. I normally like to lay hands on people. But I said, hey, let me do my pastoral thing. So I prayed, but I felt faith and I felt the presence of God. I said, Lord, heal them in Jesus' name. And then I tell her, well, go check, you know. So the next day she comes back, she says to me, she phoned them and both of them are healed. I'm like, are you sure? I was not persuaded. Friday evening, the one lady drove all the way from King Williamstown. No, Olo. She drove all the way to come and share with me that she had intestinal pains for 3 months. Doctors couldn't figure out what's wrong with her. On Tuesday night, she was instantaneously healed. And she came to church and she's never committed her life to Christ. And that night I had the privilege of leading her to Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? A sign that points to Jesus, the Savior. Man, it was so special. She's never committed her life to Christ. She drove all the way because Jesus touched her. Come on, praise God. He loves us so much. He loves you so much. He wants to rock your world. He wants to solve your depression, your heaviness. He wants to solve the pains in your body because He loves you. He wants to solve relational pain and struggles. He wants to heal your heart. He wants to restore you. Jesus went to the cross not as a spirit being only. He went to the cross as a soul, spirit, and body to redeem the whole man, soul, spirit, and body. He went through hell so that you can have heaven and healing and restoration. Amen. The next verse, verse 21, it says, "And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason." Oh, don't we like to reason? Yo, people get funny reasons to say that that wasn't God when you share these stories. Like, I'm like, oh, shut up. It's Jesus. No, I don't have a special gift. It's Jesus. He's alive and He's powerful and He's still impacting the world. So I rebuke the unbelieving nonsense arguments. Because some people think, well, God, you know, some people have superpowers. No one has superpowers. You either have Jesus or you have a demon. That's it. There are no other superpowers. Amen. That's just my own pet something there. Hallelujah. Began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Who can forgive? They're offended with Him. Offended with Jesus. Who can forgive sins? They didn't realize that He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He can do anything. But we find ourselves reasoning, unbelieving, reasoning. And I sometimes chat with atheists and they say, "Well, if I can see it, then I will believe it." That is completely wrong. You must first believe it. Then you're going to see it. You see, you must humble yourself. You are small. God is massive. He gave you life. You need to humble yourself. Even when you don't see it yet. You need to choose to trust. You need to choose to bow the knee. You need to choose to say, "God, well, actually, my life's a bit of a mess. I need You. If You are real, please, touch me." Why not? Humble yourself. Surrender to Jesus. I'm ending off with this last few verses. "But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answered and said to them, 'Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk?'" Well, it's easy for Jesus either way. It's easy for God to do anything at any time. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." That you may know. He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise. Take up your bed, go to your house." Immediately, come on, say immediately. Immediately. He rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." God can do anything at any moment. He wants to, this morning, He wants to mightily, mightily touch you. There was a guy that came to our church April, I think it was last year, a medical doctor. It was in a bus accident, broke his back, so he was in a wheelchair. He could stand with crutches, but he had almost no feeling in his feet, a lot of pain in his back. He couldn't stand for very long. He couldn't walk upstairs with crutches, but he was really battling. And he went to the doctors before that Sunday, and the doctor said, "Well, you will need more operations to solve these problems in your back." So he comes to church the Sunday evening, and I'm like, "Oh, a wheelchair. Yes." Thank you, Jesus. I get very excited when people have problems, because then Jesus can get glorified. So we prayed for him. We prayed for him and Jesus touched him. So we tested it. He got feeling back into his feet. All the pain left his back. He walked up and down the stairs without crutches. He went down onto his haunches without anything else. And at the end of the evening, he pushed his wheelchair out of church. I'm like, man, this looks like church. Amen. We've had that a few times that happened. People getting out of wheelchairs and then walking. 5 years in a wheelchair walking. Our God is powerful. He's the one that causes the lame to walk. But when you shift this unbelieving, the lies of the enemy in our hearts and minds, he is powerful and he wants to be powerful for your sake and through you. Come on, let's say it. I believe the power of God is for me and through me right now. Amen. I believe it's the will of God to touch you right now, to heal you, to set you free. Jesus didn't go to the cross for nothing. He didn't go through all of hell for nothing. He loves you more than you can imagine. Praise be to God. Amen. So let's just close our eyes just for a moment. I want to pray for us. I'm going to do a few altar calls and then I'm going to... Then at the end we're going to pray for sick people. We've had more than 1,200 people physically healed in just over 3 years. Jesus heals. It's official. Amen. Hallelujah. So Father, right now, God, we just thank you that you are here. You are powerful. And you love us more than we can imagine. Father, right now, I pray that you would come and touch every heart. Just see a picture of my mind's eye. Jesus is knocking on doors right now. Jesus, it's easy for you to forgive sins, to wash us clean, and to heal us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your holy presence here to set us free. You are real. You are alive. You are powerful. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for an awakening to happen in our hearts right now. I feel God specifically wants to speak to the men today. He's speaking to everybody, but I want to speak to the men. God wants to come and renew you on the inside. My question to you is, have your lights come on yet? Have your lights come on yet? Have you surrendered your life to him? Maybe you did years ago, but you lost your way. And your heart become cold and hard. We felt that there are some men here this morning who are battling with anger. They're frustrated. Like a bull wanting to charge. And God wants... Someone saw in a picture, a vision of the men just filling black bags with all their trash and giving it to God's trash vehicle. Have the lights come on yet? Or are you an unbelieving believer? An unbelieving one. You are intellectual, but you have not surrendered completely. You've lost your way. You're lukewarm on the inside. I believe God wants to set you free this day. I believe God is calling the men especially to respond. Real men turn to Jesus. Because real men know they can't do this without the help of God. They can't be a good husband, can't be a good father, can't be a godly man, can't bring a difference in the community and wherever God has placed you, without the living God. If you need to, if that is you, I want you to quickly raise your hand, saying, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, be bold. Raise your hand. Say, that's me. Not stuffing around anymore. Thank you for all the men that are raising their hands. Proud of you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, search your heart right now. You know when you're not right with Jesus. You know when you are distracted and lukewarm and lacking the fire of God. You know. You know. By the Holy Spirit, may you know that. In Jesus' name. You can drop your hands. Thank you, guys.